The dawn of a new era begins in less than 30 minutes. You will see changes very rapidly, and you will see masters come into the limelight, into the public limelight very quickly now. Very, very quickly. Some who themselves don't know they're about to. Because the time has arrived. Let me tell you a couple of brief things. The liberation of one soul, every time a soul is liberated, the light quotient of the entire planet rises so exponentially, there are not even words for it, the light quotient of the planet. Another fact. If it were not for the saints, masters, and avatars who are on this planet, Earth would be a black cinder right now. They alone are what are keeping the planet alive. Literally. So if you want to join the ranks of the ignorant who are condemning them and saying you don't need them, do so. I highly recommend you don't. I highly recommend you join the ranks of those who know and learn to gain respect for ones who have literally died and been reborn and become immortal while still embodied. You cannot liberate your soul in between lifetimes. It can only happen on Earth in a human embodiment. Whoever told you that is full of shit. Excuse me, I had to say it. This whole, I'll just go home and be with God. There's nowhere to go. You are home. Heaven is not a place, it's a state of consciousness. It is a state of consciousness. All 352 levels of the Godhead are here now. And as you ascend into higher vibrations of consciousness, you experience and become more of them because you're already them. You are just experiencing and living as more of them. There is no place to go. Ones who are not in that experience are in hell, and that's right here. And ones who are in the experience are in heaven, and that's right here, and everything in between. The masters, the realized beings, are keeping the planet together and keeping it alive. And lines will form, and ashrams will grow, and they will grow in number and grow in multitude. And these ones will become in very, very high demand as people awaken and as people watch the earth turning to quicksand beneath their feet, and banks continue to fail, and governments continue to collapse, and inflation continue to spike, and everything turning to dust, and people finding themselves helpless to avoid it. Love is reclaiming dominion of this planet, whether anyone likes it or not. And that's a very good thing. And is the Earth in danger of dying? No. The Earth is God made manifest. Mother Earth could shake the entire human race off of her in 1 millisecond, as easily as a cow ripples its skin and shakes a fly off. Before I finish this sentence, the entire planet could be extinct. She, like any mother, good mother, is merely tolerating her wayward children's finding their way back into love. Tolerating. And like a good mother, she raises her voice at times and curbs our direction and our attention and gets hold of our focus and attention when need to, through gentle measures, through forceful ones. But she's not going to be extinct. Though it could be, but that's not really written in the cards. And it doesn't matter anyway, because we're all immortal. This is God's classroom. So the running games, the avoidance, the denial, it will end for everyone in some given lifetime. But I say, why not now? Why not now? So, moral of the story. The moral of the story is clear. There is a great resource of help that waits quietly in the wings, that has nothing to gain and nothing to prove. Real masters don't want, need, look for, or solicit disciples or devotees or students. They don't need them, they don't care. A true master is a servant. They accept and allow them because they know it is what God wishes and they know that it will help them, but they don't need them. Charlatans need them to inflate their egos or their wallets or whatever, or to make them feel good about themselves. It is a sacrifice for masters to take on disciples. It's not a boon to them. They've already attained immortality. They need nothing. They want nothing. They luxuriate in the isness of being. They luxuriate in the presence of God coursing through their veins every minute of the day. And when I say it's a sacrifice to accept followers and devotees and disciples, and I use those three words because they all denote different levels of your commitment to yourself. I call it a sacrifice, but at an even higher level it's not. But on the 3D level, yes it is, because that's yet another person they will serve, like an indentured servant, like a slave. A very famous quote, well, I actually shouldn't say it's not quite famous at all, but a quote that I caught wind of, spoken by Paramahansa Yogananda, one of the greatest and most humble saints ever to walk this earth. And someone, one of his disciples, came up to him one day and said, I want to be just like you, Swami. I want to be just like you. And he looked at him and he said, just like me? He said, you don't want to be like me. I'm a slave. Now I know he said that for a certain reason, to humble that individual and to give him some perspective. But there was also, he was kidding on the square, there's truth in that. I mentioned about the different levels, these different descriptives of follower, devotee, disciple. Followers or students, people who find an affinity, an attraction, a drawing, a resonance with the teachings of a certain master. And they ascribe to their teachings, they sample them, they dilly-dally with them, they come by, window shop, have a sip here and there. And they have a general affinity. A devotee is a rung higher, is someone who has such a strong affinity and resonance with the vibration, with the consciousness, with the teachings of that one, that they have a greater focus and a greater level of attention and attunement to those teachings, to that life stream, and they strive with some level of effort to align themselves with those teachings and follow them. A disciple is a category in the stratosphere beyond both. A disciple is one who has reached a place in their life who says, has an awakening that is born from within, that like a light bulb goes off, or the birth of a star inside one's heart, and they realize, you are the one who will take me to the throne room of God. You live there, you have the power, the ability, and I know you are the one I've been looking for lifetimes. And a true, and that is one of the criteria that creates that marriage. But what happens when they come together, there is a marriage that is the most powerful union in existence, infinitely stronger than that with your own birth mother, infinitely stronger than that with your own child you gave birth to. It is that relationship is not only one and the same as your relationship with God, but it is also at the same time second only to your relationship with your Creator itself. But in your human embodiment, they are one and the same. Your relationship with your Guru is your relationship with God. And that being will take you to God and see to it that you merge in God and live as God. What is the difference between a guru and a teacher? Teachers tell you about God. teachers teach you about God. A guru takes you to God. Plain and simple. A teacher, a spiritual teacher, cannot take you to God. They can only tell you about God. That is a unique power and gift given directly and only by God. And then they live to give that to others. So, I share that with you. I feel so delighted to be speaking this, and I feel so honored and privileged that God has asked me to speak this. And I feel relieved that finally, I said, okay, finally, the world I know, I've known for so long, needs to know this. And I'll watch, and you will watch it begin like a small, quiet little brush fire, and it will begin to spread far and wide, and you're going to see things happen that turn these words prophetic. First slowly, then rapidly. And you'll remember. What you do with it is up to you. It's all perfect. It doesn't matter. If any of your ego minds out there are saying, oh, he's trying to win us over. He's trying to coerce us. He's trying... Think again. Not at all. Not at all. I'm blessing you. There is no guilt, there is no obligation. It's just follow your heart. Follow your heart. The truth is not affected by anyone's opinions. It simply is. The truth is a bubble rising through the sea of confusion, eventually to be seen, heard, and known by all. What I have spoken is the truth. It is the word of God, and it is the destiny of this world. How it unfolds in each person's life is a matter of their destiny, which is malleable by your God-given free will choice, but only somewhat. Free will, and I don't have time now as we approach the stroke of midnight. Free will is a bit of an illusion. Free will is an operating continuum within the full spectrum of God's will. To explain further, I'll give you a very simple analogy. If you've ever been to a carnival, an amusement park, in the children's section, they have these old Model Ts that little 2 and 3 and 4 year olds get behind, and they hold the wheel and they think they're driving. And underneath the wheel, unbeknownst to these toddlers, there's a metal rail that runs down the middle of the track, so the wheels can only go 3 inches left and right. But the child up above, this is the extended metaphor for every human being on the planet. Look at me, mommy, I'm driving. That's free will. You think you know everything. You think you're in total control of your sovereign, masterful life. But you only have, there are these curbs on either side. And when you go too far and you hit it, something happens in your life and you get the humblings. You get the car accidents and the lawsuits and the deaths and the fights and the confrontations that just push you back toward the middle. So free will is a divine dispensation given to humanity as a homing device to find your way home. But it is an operating continuum within the full spectrum of God's will. But free will, as humans understand it, is separate will. And if the function of free will is to guide you home, why do you want separate will in the first place? The power to choose and do whatever you want is what caused all your problems and pain and suffering in the first place. The highest use of free will, beloveds, is surrender. The highest use of free will is surrender. That's why the saints are always painted with their hands at their side, with the palms faced forward. Here but for the grace of God stand I, naked and defenseless. That's power. The word power is a great euphemism on planet Earth. Humanity understands the word power to be control. Control isn't power, it's fear. True power is accessed through surrender, not through control. The power I'm talking about is the primal force of creation. not the power to be able to buy and sell someone, or the power to make someone go bankrupt, or throw someone out of their house, or beat someone up, or put someone in jail, whether they're guilty or innocent. That's not power. That's control. That's fear. When I talk about power, I'm talking about the force that makes planets, that creates children, that raises people from the dead. Money cannot do that. Fame cannot do that. Political position cannot do that. Status, economic, birthright, royal, cannot do that. What happened in this room today cannot be done by any human means whatsoever. No amount of money can do what happened in the room. That is the presence of divinity, the descent of grace, that is only accessed through surrender. Every piece of your life you give up, in return you get a very large piece of God's life. The more of yours you give up, the more of God's you get. Eventually, when there's no more you left, there's only God as you walking in the world. Greater works than these shall all ye do. All that I am, you are. The only difference between me and you is I know who I am, and you haven't fully discovered that yet or believed it yet. Some of you know it intellectually from all you've witnessed and experienced, but it's not cellular, it's not realized. And that's what you're in the process of doing. I came up the same ranks as every one of you. But I was, at some point, I became wise enough to recognize the truth and then dedicated my life to it. And if that's not your bag, that's fine too. But it is your destiny. It is the destiny of every soul to realize itself as God. If not now, then another time. But I say, why not now? What the hey? Why wait? Carpe diem, baby. Seize the day. Why not now? Why not now? Why wait? Why suffer? Why have more pain? Why have another lonely night or hollow relationship or dead-end road? Why, when you can have it all? When you can feel that current going through your body like that and just say, oh, as a few people screamed and called out, oh my God, it's the ultimate. I don't need anything. This is it. I could die now. I'd be complete. Imagine having that all the time and being able to just turn it down so you can walk and function in the world, but still just there and just quietly just feeding you, just like an IV drip. Just, oh, that's sweet. I think I'll just turn it up a little. Ah, it's awesome. And being able to just feel God inside your eyes, having the gift of celestial perception, which does come at some point in the journey, when all of a sudden your eyes become God's eyes and you see everything as God sees it. It's astounding. What else is there to do? Another day of anonymous sex, another hollow relationship, another $100 earned or thousand or million. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. I've had plenty of all of them. Nothing wrong with them. But do they compare with the God force, the primal force of creation, taking hold of you? No. It's the destiny of everyone. And to complete the discourse and the dispensation and the revelation, and that's what gurus are here to give you. That and nothing else. A life filled with God coursing through your veins all day long. What you do with it is up to you. Namaste. Enjoy. More to come. I will give you another gift to help you amplify that and attune to that energy and that concept and the blessings therein. The essential oil of pure sandalwood, particularly Indian sandalwood, will help that tremendously, and especially on the third eye. The third eye is the seat of consciousness, and it's this the point of focus where the master's consciousness aligns with and merges with yours. And the sandalwood is often associated with the third eye. And so that oil will help you. I mean, anywhere on your body, but especially there. I do recommend diluting pure sandalwood oil. And please, when you buy oils, they should say 100% pure and natural. Again, more with the shams, we'll talk more later, but most of the oils in the market are fake. Yes, they lie, but so what else is new? 100% pure. It is an unregulated industry. We can talk more about it later, but make sure you get pure ones. And dilute them, I suggest, with jojoba oil. Jojoba is in the plant kingdom, jojoba oil is the closest oil to human skin oil, which makes it perhaps the healthiest oil for your body. So if you dilute it, it will soften the intensity of the oil, though not diluting its energetic strength, because most pure essential oils will burn the skin. There are some that can make direct contact, like lavender and pure rose, but a lot of them, and some people's skin is more sensitive than others. But it's very safe to dilute your pure oils with jojoba oil somewhat. Also, the chanting of a mantra, of an affirmation, a particular mantra, if you have a particular guru, if it's me, fine. If you have another guru, the chanting of some aspect of that guru's name, prefaced by Om, like for those of you who are my disciples or devotees, Om Pranananda is the one I have just last week gave to people, and will share it far and wide soon, 108 times, twice a day, morning and night, when you first awake or part of your meditation and before you go to bed at night. And particularly for this year especially, and develop a tradition of doing it on a mala, you know, a string of beads of either 54 or 108. If you have malas already, pick one, whatever one is the most sacred one. If you don't have one, I would suggest, if you don't have one, that is, to get one of Rudraksha bead. The Rudraksha bead from India is the sacred talisman associated with Shiva, who is the Lord of Gurus, the Guru of Gurus. So if you don't have a particular guru and you don't feel drawn to have one, or it doesn't resonate with you, chant Om Namah Shivaya on your mala 108 times, twice a day, and that will summon energies into you. If you have a guru, chant your guru's name, mine or whomever it is. I know some of you have other gurus here, and that's great. That's perfect and wondrous. But if you don't have one or want one, chant Om Namah Shivaya on your mala. And the Rudraksha holds that energy of Lord Shiva, who, as I said, is the guru of gurus. And if you have other malas, you don't have to run out and buy a Rudraksha. Any mala that is sacred to you will be fine. All right, beloveds. I'm sure there'll be more in the next 2 days to come, but that's enough for right now to help you, put you on your way. And we're going to now get up from our chairs, and I'd like the chairs to be brought to the side so we can have a clearing in the center, so we can come in a few moments for our countdown and let the children know to come in. We'll have our countdown to bring in the new year, the year of the guru. All right, folks, please get a hold of your glass.
We need to come get one.
Yes, 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 yes. Oh, and another thing, following one of my traditions that I started, after we have our toast and our countdown, which is only about 2 minutes away, I want every single person in the room to hug every single person in the room. Please don't leave the room till you've hugged everyone and give them your blessing and receive theirs with Happy New Year. And please hug on the right so your hearts touch, heart to heart. All right, we're only about 2 minutes away, so grab your drinks, folks. Okay, we are just about a minute away. Do you all have your drinks? Oh my gosh, 2011 around the bend. We just crossed the minute line. We'll count down from 30. So excited. Where'd that year go? Blink, anyone? Okay, and we're coming up for our countdown. Oh, maybe 20 would be better. 30 is a bit long. We just passed 30 seconds, so we're coming in. Oh my God, it's just about here! Okay, ready? And you can join me if you like. And 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Woohoo! Oh. Happy New Year. I love you. Let me be my first hug.
Happy New Year, love.